couple for general evangelistic work. And yet there are well over 20 million people there and no hindrance to the preaching of the gospel. I visited Malaya. I visited Pakistan. And had my attention called to the fact that we have scarcely more missionaries in Malaya today than we had 4 years ago. And yet, 8 million people there waiting for messengers of Christ. Yonder in Pakistan, oh, how can we expect 6 couples to begin even to give the gospel to 46 or maybe 48 million people in East Pakistan? And I had to say to those missionaries both in Malaya and in Pakistan that we do not now have immediately in sight anyone who is coming and saying, we're ready now to go to Malaya, we're ready now to go to Pakistan. Oh, the things we must yet do if we are to fulfill God's calling to us yonder in Asia. Perhaps it can be well pointed up if I simply describe to you 2 or 3 recent missionary moves. The Frank Gillums are now ready to move to Nagoya in Japan, the third largest city of Japan, where they will be our only Southern Baptist missionaries, not only for that city, not only for that prefecture, but for an outlying area which includes far more people than this entire state of Florida. We will have one missionary preacher in that area. Paul Mosteller moved recently, a few months ago now, from Bangkok out to Prachinburi in Thailand. Prachinburi is a province with over 200,000 people. And Paul Mosteller is the first preacher of the gospel of any nationality or of any denomination ever to live in that province. When he got there, he found about 50 homes in Prachinburi that had television aerials, for television has been there, but the preacher of the gospel had not. And there are some other provinces like that one still waiting without preachers. Dan Cobb moved down to South Thailand to the Songkhla province, 350,000 people there. When he moved there, the province included 2 churches, a little Presbyterian church and a little non-denominational church, total membership less than 100. The Dan Cobbs and a fine Presbyterian couple are the only missionaries of any evangelical denomination among those 350,000 people. Jim McKinley in East Pakistan moved in December to Camilla. He has written about that Camilla subdistrict in which he lives and works. 2 million people there, and Jim McKinley is the only evangelical missionary preacher in that district. He and 2 Pakistani Baptist preachers have that parish all to themselves, 2 million people. Next door to Camilla is the province of Noakhali with another 2 million people, and there is not an evangelical preacher, national or missionary, in that Noakhali province. Oh, my friends, have we been able even to begin to realize that now 2,000 years after the coming of Christ and the giving of his command, there are places like that in our world with not simply thousands nor tens of thousands, but millions who've never once heard the gospel. I read recently a statement which I fear gave a misleading impression. It's something we frequently see in writing, both in religious and in secular press. It blamed the slowness of the spread of the gospel in Asia on the suspicions of imperialistic connections on the part of missionaries. Well, of course, that does exist. But we should not try to find that reason for blaming people who've never even heard the gospel as if they had rejected it for some reason. No, the people of Asia have not heard and rejected. They've simply, most of them, never heard. We need seek no new reason for it. For the Bible gives us in all plainness the reason. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Oh, when we look at Asia tonight, we know what we must do. Our Lord has told us we must change that picture as we and those we send go forth to hold the word of life in hand and hold it forth to them.
Now may we ask the missionaries from the Orient to stand. Now will you turn and face this congregation as we all stand in expressing our appreciation to you for your word. And you may be seated.
Madam President, for these next 10 minutes, I want to speak out of my heart to this great group of women who make up this convention, and bringing together what you have seen from all across the world, I want to sum it up in this one statement. You are needed in world missions. I'm thinking about a scripture. It's familiar to you. It tells an old, old story out of the book of Judges about Gideon and the enemy. And it says, "And they stood every man in his place round about the camp." How urgently you are needed in world missions. How urgently Woman's Missionary Union is needed in world missions. Somebody may say, do you mean to tell us, after all these many, many years and the outpouring of the labor of love that has characterized Woman's Missionary Union, that we still are urgently needed in world missions? Do you mean to tell us, after the growth of the Southern Baptist Convention and its multiplying of all of its facilities, that the work of women organized into Woman's Missionary Union is still urgently needed? With all my heart, I want to say to you tonight, you are more urgently needed now and in the years just unfolding than ever you have been needed in the whole story of world missions. You are needed that you will carry a peculiar heart burden for the whole wide world. I don't know why it is, but God has somehow laid upon the women a special burden for the whole world. Long before there was a Southern Baptist Convention, long before there was even a triennial convention that we come to celebrate its founding in 1964, there were groups of women drawn together with a tender heart for a lost world. And I don't know how to explain it, except I know it to be a fact that when we appoint these missionaries month by month, they stand before the Foreign Mission Board, and it runs like a chorus, like a refrain through their testimonies. God moved my heart for missions in something that Woman's Missionary Union did. It was back yonder in Sunbeams, or it was there in a GA organization, or yonder as an RA when the WMU was leading it, or since that time as led by the Brotherhood, or as a YWA, or even as a young minister's wife in my WMS program. Somehow my Lord got hold of my heart. I can't tell you why it is, but I know it to be a fact that these missionaries who go out across the world bear testimony that God quickened their hearts through the heart burden of Woman's Missionary Union.
my dear friends who love the cause of Christ around the world, this peculiar heart burden that God has given you for world missions is needed now and in the days ahead. It is furthermore so urgently needed that you will quicken the conscience of all our Baptist life for world missions. Somehow this spirit inside you, this heart concern inside you, must stand right in the midst of our Baptist life and say, here must be a conscience for the Great Commission. In the home, around the family circle of worship, you holding out the whole world to be the object of concern. You in the program of your local church, looking at all of its life and saying, no matter how many be our immediate local needs, our conscience must reach out to the whole wide world. You in your state, you in the Southern Baptist Convention, you standing as a conscience for the whole wide world, how urgently you are needed for world missions. How urgently you are needed to light the fires of intercessory prayer on thousands of altars, that we might pray God to move upon the peoples of the earth and upon Southern Baptists, that we might do our Master's bidding. For surely our greatest unharnessed potential is this of our prayer potential, and Woman's Missionary Union may be moving into our largest challenge, as somehow by creative imagination that God so wonderfully has given you, you will find ways to harness this great prayer potential of our growing Baptist fellowship. How urgently you are needed, Woman's Missionary Union is needed to secure the resources for world missions. Secure it by means of your continued, loyal, wholehearted support of the cooperative program. I submit unto you, in our total Baptist fellowship, there has been no unit more loyally supporting the cooperative program than Woman's Missionary Union. And somehow, wherever you labor, in every church that makes up this fellowship, there will ring out the note of the urgency of the cooperative program. But not merely so, to bring together the resources for world missions in the Annie Armstrong offering and in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. May I speak out of my heart a word of deep conviction. The conviction of my heart is, there is no greater reinforcement to the cooperative program than the laying upon the altar of these offerings for Annie Armstrong for home missions and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for foreign missions. If by some dread occurrence these two glorious, God-honored and time-tested, glorious offerings were to pass out of our life, the cooperative program would suffer and would feel a tremendous weakening. For every dollar you lay upon the altar for home missions or for foreign missions will somehow open the fountains of compassion. And all the year long, the money flows more freely through the cooperative program for all our Lord would have us to do. Woman's Missionary Union, more urgently than when you gathered yonder in 1888 and began your labor, you are needed now. More urgently than in those terrible days of depression, when in 1933 you turned the tide from defeat unto victory by that signal Latimoon Christmas offering. Even more than those days, you are needed now and in the days that lie just ahead. But I speak not merely of how you are needed as a great organization, not merely in your coming together here and in those churches that you serve and in those churches where you are not yet found, but where surely you are going to be, but I speak in terms of you individually. You are needed in world missions. All you are needed as you teach that Sunday school class and open the word of Almighty God to let the need of a lost world step out on the pages of the scripture until those who are there under your teaching will hear the mandate of the Master. You are needed that in your own home, as these little children God has given you are gathered round your side, you shall say unto your Lord, Lord, these are thine, are laid upon the altar. This past Thursday, in the meeting of the Foreign Mission Board, I heard a missionary appointee, a lovely young woman, say of her home, her father and her mother's home, a word that I think I shall not soon forget. She stood there to say, I came from a home where my mother and my father had built a home dedicated to the rearing of children for the service of Christ's kingdom. Oh, how my heart did leap. How I thought if somehow that ideal of home building could reach out across America, how different all might be. How urgently you are needed that in your home, God may be able through you to raise up the Lottie Moon, the Henrietta Hall Shook, the heroine or the hero of the cross who tells a story around the world. But you are needed not only to lay those children there, you are needed to lay your hand in the hand of your husband and say, let's go. I wish you could sit where I sit at the Foreign Mission Board and hear what those men and women say. How many a time a man will stand to say, my heart was burning, I felt God moving in my soul. But the Lord apparently had not been able yet to bring my wife to the place of consent. And so I prayed, and so I waited. And then one day she said, let's go. And many a time it's just the other way around. Many a time it's a woman who said, I can't understand it. The Lord Jesus moved my heart to become a missionary. And then by the same clear sense of guidance, I found my way leading to the marriage altar. And the man I married had not felt in his heart God's calling, but I felt some way the will of God must be consistent. And so I waited and I prayed and I left it in the hands of God. And one day he said to me, would you go with me to the mission field? And then my heart leaped with joy. Are you yet in your 30s? Is your husband yet in your 30s? Did you know you can go? Did you know that you and your husband already prepared, already finished maybe your seminary and your college training? Maybe one year from tonight, you could be presented to the Southern Baptist Convention as an outgoing missionary. For you're going to see on Thursday evening a number of people standing there who 1 year ago didn't know God was saying, this is for you. And there's some of you who stand yet in those early morning years of youth able to hear this ringing, crying call that's come from the hearts of these secretaries tonight? Didn't you catch it from Dr. Crawley at the last, as he cried out the heartache of these lands across the world, where there are people but no churches, where there are sick people and there are no hospitals, where there are boys and girls and no schools, and where the refugees lie in their misery, and where people are waiting, they're waiting for you. Tonight, across the Atlantic in the city of Paris, there sit several men and their advisors in a summit conference. The future of the world is yet to be determined partly by what comes out of it. But tonight, in your hands, there is the very word of life committed, that you, as a messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ, might go and say, Lord, do you want a nurse, somebody who's willing to take her hands and minister to a person with a black skin or a yellow skin or a brown skin or an olive-colored skin? If so, Lord, I'm your servant. Lord, do you want a voice that will be used to sing for you across the world? Lord, here's mine. Whatever talent I have, you gave it to me. And I want to go, Lord, and do thy bidding. I'm thy servant from here on out. In my soul, I believe I'm speaking right now to some people who from this very hour ought to be saying, our faces are turned toward the mission field. Unless God redirects my path or bars the door, I will go to the mission field. You are needed. Let's bow our heads and pray. And when I've prayed, the Stetson Choir will then be heard. Oh, our Lord, the people have waited. How long must we wait? They have cried. Is it nothing to you, O ye that pass by? They have said. Master, we wish we could say we've done our best, but we can't. We certainly haven't prayed at our best. We certainly haven't given it our best. And many of us could have gone, Lord, and many of us now could volunteer. And oh, Master, when we think about this world as being a world that has not so much rejected as a world that hasn't heard, can't we somehow in this generation give them a chance, O Lord, under the shadow of a mushroom cloud, under the shadow of a civilization that could be so readily destroyed? Master, put it into our hearts to choose to leave behind the so-called comforts of this civilization and its pleasures and its gains and its plaudits, and turn our faces across the world to these men and these women, the boys and girls and young people who need thee so much and who've never heard. Lord, build a fire within us that will never die out. And from this night onward, let us press on with thee in the service of world missions. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.